Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92, the NFL Draft live in Detroit this year. Coming up Thursday. I was going to say a week, but it was a week from yesterday already. So Caleb Williams from USC, the quarterback expected to go number one. Jaden Daniels, number two, the quarterback from LSU. So, you know, that's what we're expecting. And then obviously we're sitting here in Brownstown and it's like dum-da-dum, dum-da-dum. So I just look at it and, you know, I'm just kind of like, we're so used to being a draft town, but, you know, that isn't the case anymore. Let's get some insight on what we need to know from the draft and everything else that's going on. Eric Edholm from NFL.com is now on us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Eric. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
How are you, Eric? Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'm doing well. You guys are like the, you know, you're at a big dinner party and everyone else ordered a salad or a soup or an entree, or, you know, appetizer, and you're just waiting for your entree. That's all it is. You know, you just got to be patient.
We are just sitting around, like, they're not even, you know how you, like, you're at that where they're serving the appetizers before? Like, yep. They won't even look at us.
Right.
Like, we're not
right.
We're like, why are those guys wearing t-shirts in the corner when everyone else is wearing tuxes?
I'm wearing the 4X coat at the country club because they're, sir, you need a jacket in here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love it.
It's so weird, too, for us in Cleveland. I mean, the draft has been our life for right. so many years. It was our Super Bowl. It was everything. And now, you know, I can't wait to get back to next year when they might actually have a first-round pick. But if they're good, it's yeah. not going to matter. It's going to be like later in the first round, like, oh, okay, that's what they did in the first round.
You can survive some April lulls, right? As long as the team is winning, that's the bigger picture, right?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know, when you look at the Browns, and I don't know, we're kind of hoping maybe they make a trade, but I don't even see they're not making a trade. I don't think they have the assets to get back up into the first round, but without giving out more future assets, what do you think of the Browns? I know it's probably you're like. The Browns, who cares? They're in the second round. But your thoughts on the Browns in the draft?
Yeah, no. Obviously, very interesting team. I mean, with everything going on, this big picture, I mean, last season was so unexpected in so many ways. Not that I didn't think they'd be good. I did. But for it to unfold the way it did certainly adds layers of complexity to the picture. And you know, again, just beyond the draft, obviously, Deshaun's got to be the guy this year. And, you know, I'm sure they're you can't say counting on, but hoping for better health too. I mean, you look at the depth chart and there aren't a lot of glaring, you know, obvious needs, but I would still say both lines of scrimmage are going to be areas they focus on. You know, there was enough movement at both spots and enough depth concerns. I think that, you know, you could project an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman. You know, I would say may not be the two of the higher priority positions, but linebacker wouldn't shock me. Tight end wouldn't stun me either. Just again for, you know, to kind of buttress those positions a little bit. Starter wise, they're in pretty good shape. Depth wise, could probably use more. And I would probably throw a receiver out there as another area where they could take a flyer. I don't know if it's their pick at 54, but at some point along the way, especially given the riches of talent at that position in this draft, you might as well dip in. And, yeah, I'll be curious to see which direction they go. But I'm with you. I think you may have to be patient and wait for, you know, the first 53 picks to go by before we hear some action.
It's interesting you bring up wide receiver, Eric, because Ladd McConkey is the name that keeps coming up around here, a decent amount of guys that we've heard the Browns may be interested in or are linked to the Browns. What can you tell us about Ladd McConkey?
I can tell you, I think he's going to be gone by that point, but I love him as a receiver. I really do. I mean, he was hurt for a big chunk of last year, and you know, when he came back, he looked great. You know, really helped them to a tough win over Missouri, and I think Florida too was maybe right before that. I forget the order of the games, but and no relation, by the way, to Phil McConkey. I've been asked that a few times, the old Giants receiver and in the Parcells era. So just in case there's anybody out there wondering, you know, the funny thing is he's sort of viewed as this savvy, smart possession receiver, a guy who just sort of has an knack for getting open. And that's not untrue, except for the fact that he ran a 4.39 at the combine, and he's a really good athlete. He may not be the longest guy. He's sub 6 foot, sub 200 pounds, you know, but if you look strictly at the measurables, his closest comparison is Garrett Wilson from the Jets. I'd say that works out pretty well. Like, now, he's maybe not the same player that Wilson is, but in terms of just an athletic specimen and the reason that I think he's going to maybe sneak into late round one or possibly, you know, I don't know that he gets by Carolina at 33, to be honest, but he's just a really good football player, and he gets it. And I think he'll be pro ready as soon as he steps onto a practice field.
I kind of want you to dissect this again, Eric at home, NFL.com. So Andrew Berry has said in the past, we approach every draft like we're an expansion team. And then he said last week that we'll really start to lock in when we're 10 picks away. What do you make of those two? What do you make of those two lines?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the second part makes a lot of sense, right? Especially where they're picking. I think it would be similar if they were selecting at the end of round one. Let's say they were, you know, in the mid to late 20s. Around the mid-teens, you start saying, okay, what's the big picture? Who's right in front of us? Who could swoop in from below us to possibly trade up? You know, what are these teams' needs? Who have they already picked if they've had a selection already? You kind of run through this checklist and you start saying, okay, you know what? There's a glut of six players here who all have similar grades. If we move back 10 picks, there's a darn good chance one of them will still be available. You know, let's make that move. Or, hey, look, you know, there's only two receivers we like between, you know, 10, 11, 12 picks out. What are the chances both are still going to be on the board? We may have to slide up a few picks. Let's start asking what the offer might be. So I think that approach is very similar to what you see in other front offices. It's a smart way to do business. You have the big picture in mind. You have the dream scenarios and then the worst case scenarios all kind of floating out there. And you really start to see it crystallize at that point. You know, as far as the expansion comment, it's fascinating. Obviously, if you truly are an absolutist in the best player available mentality, like we're just going to take good football players and figure it out. I mean, everybody talks that way. It's really hard to be that disciplined, though, to be when you get on the clock and you have two players who have close grades. One's at a need, one is at a wealth position, right? A position you feel good about. If the position you feel good about is the higher rated player, that's a tough call to make. Teams who have taken that approach often have been rewarded in the long run. You know, I would love to see every team kind of do that approach. I don't know that it actually happens that way, but I commend the Browns for at least, you know, having that mentality going into the process.
Eric at home, NFL.com, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So it's looking like Caleb Williams is going to go one.
Yep.
Two looks like Drake May, sounds like Drake May, all that kind of stuff, possibly Jaden Daniels. And then the draft takes off at three. What do you think happens at three?
I actually think Daniels might be the pick at two. I really do. And if it's
interesting.
I think it's actually going to be Daniels and May. But if it goes May and Daniels, it wouldn't stun me. I mean, at first, and I heard Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague, talking about this the other day, was when Washington traded Sam Howell, who played at North Carolina and was the starter when May was a freshman. Those two were really good buddies and everything, and they played ping pong till, you know, 2 a.m, and they still are friends. And, you know, But you could understand how it would be an awkward situation if they were both there in Washington, professional careers and all that, and one would, you know, May would take over at some point. And they trade him to Seattle, and I thought, aha, okay, that's a tip. That's a piece of information right there. That maybe they're doing this preemptively, knowing that they love May, but all the talk since then has been focused on, well, I shouldn't say all the talk, but a lot of the smoke in people around the league have said, I think they like Jaden Daniels. And every team is trying to figure it out, just like we are. So I credit Washington, Adam Peters, first-year GM, for keeping a lid on this thing. It's been a lot of speculation, no real clarity, but I think New England actually prefers Jaden Daniels, but I'm starting to believe that May is a real strong option for him too. Then if it does unfold that way, either order, what happens at four? Is there a trade? Does Minnesota come in? Is Denver desperate? Do the Giants pop up a couple spots? That's really, I think, where the ball gets rolling on this thing. And, you know, the fun ensues with the trades and how high J.J. McCarthy ends up going.
Okay, I think the other fun one, especially sitting where we're sitting because of Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think might be one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen play college football. I love him. I just think he is unbelievable. Who's going to go first, Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, and it probably depends on what shakes out with the fourth and fifth picks. I mean, that is a big – not trying to, you know, like sort of give you a non-answer, but, I mean, if Arizona stays there, like you can make a case for both. They have some bigger guys already. Maybe they're not looking for that CeeDee Lamb type. They more want the shifty Odell Beckham type, which is Nabers. I could see that, but like you said, I even with some teams seemingly preferring Nabers, I know one at least. I don't know a ton, but I know at least one team that does. Probably a team not in a position to draft them. You know, I think Harrison just presents a really interesting package. To me, he's like CeeDee and that type of player, and Justin Jefferson-ish in some ways. You know, I mean, that's kind of the prototype. And you get the best of both worlds. You get, like, the small receiver athleticism and the big receiver length. And, by the way, even though he's been a little bit tricky in this pre-draft process, he's also known as, like, an incredibly hard worker and a very detail-oriented player. Like, somebody who believes in the perfection of his craft. So that right there might be, and the NFL bloodlines, I think, ends up putting him as the number one receiver.
Whoever takes him will not regret it. That's all I can say. They will not regret it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong answer with the top two. And maybe it's just me, Eric. I feel the same way with Roma Dunze. Like, that dude is a star.
I said he was my favorite receiver in the class. Just like, you know, you see a guy and you're like, that's my guy. Like, even though there are other guys who may be better, I was watching a game. I think it was the Oregon game live and then a couple other games later. And I thought, he's just so smooth. Like, he's just a really polished player, not a big high school recruit. Every year, tangible growth, like just incremental steps up. Last year was just a showcase of his talent. He's got the length. He's a fine athlete, jumps through the roof, you know, body control, late hands, everything's there.
You think it'll be an active first round? You think we'll see trades? You think what do you think? You think it'll get messy? Those are always kind of fun too. Like when you're on the outside looking in, you're like, ooh, they made a trade. Oh, I can't believe they drafted two quarterbacks that close. Like, I think that's what I'll be looking for, especially on the first night, where I'm just kind of watching. I'll get my popcorn and I'll watch from the outside.
Yeah, big picture, what's going to happen? You want a little activity, right? I mean, I don't know that we're going to see a flurry of trades at the top. Like, I just laid it out. I think the first three picks stay there and take quarterbacks. Four is obviously in play. Five could be in play. The Chargers would love to move down. Giants feel like they've got something coming. Who knows? Vikings, you know, are well-armed to move up. I could see Denver moving back. I could see Chicago moving back from 9. So those are a couple picks to keep in mind. I think the Commanders will be aggressive trying to trade back into round 1. They have two early seconds that maybe you could use on a tackle. So, yeah, I do think there will be some activity. And then the question would be, like, if there is if there are quarterbacks who go 1-2-3-4 or 1-2-3-5, 1-2-3-6, something like that, does that create anxiety for the people who like Penix and Bo Nix? And do they kind of jump the gun and take those guys somewhere in the, you know, later parts of round one? It wouldn't shock me. So that offers some intrigue there.
See, that's right where I was going to go, Eric. And Eric at home joining us, NFL.com on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Penix and Nix in this draft fascinate me, A, because of their age, the fact that they're coming out as old as they are, both of them being 24. But more than anything, like, it seems like it kind of goes, okay, here's the four, and then here's these other two guys that somebody might be intrigued by. Do you think we see a team move up into the first round to take a Penix or to take a Nix? Because a lot of draft guys have them falling into the second round.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think when Penix worked out at his pro day and there some good or better than expected news maybe came back on the injury front with him, you know, you're talking about a guy with two ACLs and two shoulder injuries. That's a red flag. That's a concern. That's somebody you're going to do extra work on. And teams have, and I haven't heard any concerns to the point where, like, you know, he's on our sub board or he's off our board entirely or he's just not an option for us anymore. I haven't heard anything like that. So that's the good news for him. Nix has just been kind of steady as she goes. You know, I could see him operating in a Sean Payton offense. Would you take him at 12, though? Is he special? Is he going to elevate your team? Or, and they don't have, they only have one day two pick as well, so their ammo's limited. Do they try to move back from 12, you know, to somebody looking for a tackle, let's say, you know, somebody who wants to get ahead of the Saints and a few other teams like that, the Raiders possibly? You know, do they move back into the 20s and say, all right, we'll take them there. Like, we feel better about it there. But even if you do that, you run the risk of somebody else swooping in. That's the cool part is, like, it's like this game of poker. And there are, you know, poker mixed with musical chairs, I suppose, right? There's only so many seats, and you can't be too trifle with it. You have to really be smart about how you move up or down. So I don't know. I think Penix has a great chance to go in round one. I'm not as sure about Nix, but it wouldn't shock me.
All right, Eric, we got a roll here. Do you have another mock coming out?
I do. Actually, I was writing it right when you guys called. So I think Monday, but I'm not 100% sure on that. It's next couple days.
I love the thought of Harbaugh and Marvin Harrison Jr. having to get together in Los Angeles. That'd be great.
He threw to his dad. Harbaugh was throwing to his dad in Indy as a rookie in 95, so, or 96, whatever year that was. So it'd be kind of cool. Two generations of Harbaughs and Harrisons together.
Outstanding. Eric, thank you. We're going to be looking for your next mock draft at NFL.com, and we appreciate your time. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Eric Edom on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ram Hotline 2020 time. Baskin. We just had Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Pretty much anything you need to know about the draft, boom, it's right there for you, and it's on the Odyssey app. And it's also available at 92.3thefan.com. A little bit earlier in the show, we were listening to the morning show's conversation with Kevin Stefanski. If you missed any of that, you've got a couple opportunities to go back and check it out. One of the ways to do it, obviously, is on the Odyssey app, and you can check out the morning show podcast. But you can also check out tonight, later tonight, we'll have that on our Rewind show.
Yeah, so, Fan Rewind will have that guy on it.
So excited. So if you want to go back and listen or you missed any of it, it's right there for you. And all kinds of formats, so we take care of you here at 92.3.
Absolutely. We got to get it on vinyl and analog next.
Reel to reel? You want
reel to reel.
Coming up on the 8-Track Hour, Kevin Stefanski plays the hits with Anthony Leiba and Ken Carbon.
Those things were the worst.
Which one?
8-Track. Ugh, they always jammed.
You can understand.
Always jammed.
Wait, are you old enough for 8-Track? Because I'm barely old enough
for 8-Track. I had buddies who had 8-Tracks because they thought it was cool because it was vintage. They'd be like, yeah, let me put Bad Out of Hell in here. And then it wouldn't work because it's 8-Track.
I don't. The better one was the AudioVox FM converter that you had to put in your car so you could have FM. Do you remember those?
No, I do not remember those.
What's crazy. So you had an AM radio in the car. Then there was, I think, probably an ashtray underneath it. And then you would take this little thing that was a FM converter, and then you would mount the FM converter underneath the ashtray so your radio was in two different spots.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure there was an Oldsmobile. I mean, I know my brother had done that to one of our Oldsmobiles in the 70s. So there you go. And if you want more of this kind of fun, listen to our friends at NCX. So there was a story that came out 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that really caught your eye and my eye too. And it's from Sportico. And Sportico is the business of sports, is their subtitle for the name of the site. And they had cited an Athletic article that went along with it. And the headline was College Football Super League Pitch Deck Details a Breakaway Plan. So right away, it had my attention and had yours too. Now, here's the super interesting part of it. So I'll just read a little bit of it to you. So for the past 2 weeks, college sports stakeholders have been debating the concept of a super league, one group's vision for a brand new college football enterprise. They're continuing to talk about it, but their top line plan, 80 teams, 16-game playoffs, new conferences.
So,
excuse me, the group College Sports Tomorrow has some interesting names in it. Why don't you tell everybody what they are?
Very
interesting.
So the crux of this, for those of you out there, is the dream that we have all had for college football for a very long time, which is, you know, and this is the Jeff Phelps plan. We've seen this a long time, which is the European soccer model, where basically we're going to end up with one top-tier conference with promotion and relegation, where you're going to have one, you're going to be able to have teams that will find their way up into the top tier and teams that will find their way down into the bottom tier, depending on performance, all of the best teams going up against each other in a season format.
Okay, but here's what you need to hear, Cleveland sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
The College Sports Tomorrow group is a collection, now this, again, this is according to Sportico, is a collection of U.S. sports team owners, executives, and college administrators. Ready to hear some of the names that they're telling you are in it?
Do tell.
One.
I must.
Devils, Sixers, possible future Guardians owner, minority owner of your Guardians right now, David Blitzer. Ready for another name in that group?
Cleveland
Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam. Both of those names are listed in this Sportico article as the collection of U.S. sports teams, owners, executives, and college administrators that comprise this College Sports Tomorrow.
First College Sports Tomorrow.
College Sports Tomorrow. It's
College Sports Tomorrow sounds like a fake nonprofit that would get brought down by the government in like one of these 3 months, in the same way that like Bishop Sycamore got brought down. Like, that's what that is. College Sports Tomorrow is here to make sure that the college ahead of us, we got to get a better name.
Wait a second. I was trying to get into Bishop Sycamore.
Were you?
Oh, yeah, I totally.
Resubmit your transcript.
I didn't take SATs or ACTs, so it's kind of weird.
Oh, no, they take CATs. Really, you just color a picture of a cat, and if you stay in the lines, you get in.
CATs. I've never heard that before. So in the story, it talks about an 11-page deck entitled competitive equity proposals, and Dan kind of talked about that a little bit. If you go into the scenario, so I just think there's like really interesting stuff because like the Athletic talks about revenue sharing that favors the biggest brand names like Alabama, Notre Dame there, but the group envisions a prospective players union that will collectively bargain on topics like NIL, transfer restrictions, and prioritizing competitive equity so that that's what's absent in the current structure. And then the Dartmouth deal, you know, after that happened, you start thinking, well, that kind of makes sense, a players union for all these things that are going on. And that they would go to an eight-division situation. Now, this is interesting because they actually lay out the proposed Super League divisions for college athletics.
Mm-hmm.
There is one part that I really, really like. But it also... there are things I don't like about it, too. It separates Ohio State and Michigan. That's never going to happen.
Right.
It eliminates the Big Ten. It eliminates the SEC. You know,
we're close to that anyway. Getting rid of the Big Ten and the SEC, but we're close to getting rid of the ACC. We're close to getting rid of the Big 12. We're close to getting rid of the Mountain West. We're close to, like, this all is crumbling to the ground slowly but surely.
So there's also relegation
mm-hmm.
in this Super League, which I think is great because they have it broken down into West, Southwest, Plains, Midwest, Northeast, Southeast, South. And then what I really, really, really like is this league, one of the divisions is called Under League Division. It's the Under League,
mm-hmm.
which would be schools that I'm assuming are currently not in the Super League, or that this division would exist in the Super League, giving one of those teams the opportunities to go through it. You with me on all this?
Yeah. It's the promotion and relegation dream that we all want, where every single team who plays well has a chance to find their way into the top league. And the teams such as Vanderbilt, who are there because they're Vanderbilt and their alumni have a boatload of money and they're a part of the SEC, can find themselves into a lower tier to give somebody like a Coastal Carolina, which is putting together really good football teams of late, a chance to be at the top tier and we could actually see these games that we want to see.
It does split apart, though, the Big Ten and the SEC. It splits them. But it also allows schools like Miami, like they have Miami and Toledo listed as the under league division. So I don't, it's fascinating. Sportico has it. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it later in the show, but I have a lot of reasons why I think this won't work. We'll talk more about it when we have a little bit more time, but we just want to bring it to your attention. And we've got a lot more fun. So I'm really interested in what Brian Anderson has to say about that. We might bring it up later with him. Daryl Ryder as well. He'll join us next. We'll talk Cavaliers with him, and we'll also talk Browns with what's going on too. So Daryl Ryder next right here, Baskin and Phelps.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
With Dan Menigan.
We now bring in our Browns, or I should say our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter. I apologize, Daryl. Of course, he's brought to you by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store to cover all things Cleveland sports.
Okay, are you sure? Of course.
And of course, the host of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland with somebody else who is currently trying to figure out how many streams the Pearl Jam album is going to get compared to the new Taylor Swift album.
Oh, no, no, no. Daryl, we expected this. We knew this was coming, that Taylor Swift would be singing and have some lyrics about Travis Kelce, right? We knew this was coming. This could be. This is probably going to be a segment on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Sure.
Yes, okay. And if they ever, or I should say, if it doesn't work out between them, he'll have his own album dedicated to him as well.
Yeah, I know. I gotta be honest for you. In the beginning of their relationship, I was rooting for them for it to last like.
And now
five
you're rooting for the breakup album, aren't you?
No, you know what? I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
you
not.
Are.
I gotta tell you, in the beginning, I really was. I was waiting for the breakup, but now I'm okay with it.
Now you're hoping they make it.
Yeah, I'm hoping they make it. But I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for her career if they make it.
I want those crazy.
What's she
kids
gonna
to
write about?
Joy.
Right. What's she going to write about?
She does need the inspiration, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's all good. I'm like, all right.
By the way, Taylor Swift will eclipse Pearl Jam's downloads and streams and everything else. I'm going to say by at least 100-fold.
I was just going to say it's going to be at least triple.
It's going to be a bloodbath when you compare them.
Well,
like,
again,
it's not even going to be close. I love Pearl Jam, but I think people love Taylor Swift a little more.
Right, and it's being released in a way for the Taylor Swift fans that is right up their alley, while all of the Pearl Jam fans, like myself, are still sitting here going like, okay, wait a minute, I got to download what to get this? Why can't I just buy the CD? Where is the CD? Who's got the CD? I
guess we'll find out how it stacks up with the likes of Vitalogy and some of their other great albums.
Ooh, good call.
That's a good one.
Good call.
That's
Darryl.
A good one.
All right,
It is my all-time favorite Pearl Jam album, although 10 is certainly there right next to it. And Verses, like, those are my top three favorite Pearl Jam albums.
You're like poking the bear on me, Daryl. I could go down this road. Let's do this on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. I want to be in the summer when there's nothing going on. Let's do Pearl Jam rankings, and I want to be the guest star. I want to hop on and do a guest spot with my rankings, and you guys can yell at me.
Okay.
Nice. All right, we got to get to sports before everyone's head explodes.
No right code, here. Riot Act, binaural. Oh, I'm sorry. MTV Unplugged. Yield.
Are you good? Are you done? Yield? Are you done? Are you done?
Just Pearl Jam, the album itself.
Daryl, how important is
Dark Matter? We did just have the eclipse.
This
a lot of dark matter out there in the world.
You done?
Well, I do see it's a little wet outside. Maybe we'll get a lightning bolt.
Is he done?
All right, Daryl, is lightning going to strike with the Cleveland Cavaliers as they make it past the Orlando Magic? Do you think this team and what we've seen of Donovan Mitchell to this point and what we've seen here can get past the Orlando Magic? Can
It'll
lightning
be a riot
strike?
Act within the organization if it doesn't happen.
Yes! How do they have to come out in game one? Like, everyone's talking about them playing unbelievably aggressive. I hope that's what they do. I hope they punch them in the mouth right away. That's what needs to happen. I agree with that because we heard some of that stuff coming out of the locker room earlier this week. What needs to happen in game one? And, you know, I heard the trite question this morning because the boys were joking around about it, but is it must win? It's more about
it
must,
is the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. Yes. We've officially reached must win territory. Just breaking news for everybody.
Set tone? Maybe that's a better question.
Yeah, well, here's what needs to happen. Orlando is a very long, athletic team, okay? And we have seen throughout the season at times, and including against Orlando and the two losses the Cavaliers had to the Magic, they really struggled with that length and athleticism. So that was why I posed that very question at practice the last couple of days in what they have to do to prepare to deal with that, because we have seen in times this season where they just don't handle it very well. They turn the basketball over. They get real sloppy on the offensive end. Orlando's a pretty good defensive team as well. Cavaliers can play some defense too, but the physicality gets dialed up in the playoffs. And as we know, the narrative coming out of what happened last year, the bloodbath beating they took courtesy of the New York Knicks, is that they were just Charmin soft, right? Jared Allen had the lights too bright comment or whatever that has, hung over them throughout the entire season. But They've got to be physical with Orlando. They have to dictate the pace and the flow and the style of play. And if they're able to do that for four games, they're going to win the series. But if they allow Orlando to use that size and athleticism to their advantage and create turnovers and be disruptive on the defensive end of the floor and cause Darius Garland to go down the rabbit hole that we've seen Darius go down a lot this season, and that's where he's turning the basketball over in chunks. You know, he gets real streaky with those turnovers. He'll have a quarter where he'll turn it over three, four times, and then in next two quarters it's clean, and then comes late in the fourth quarter and he's got three, four more turnovers. So they've got to take care of the basketball and not allow Orlando to get real handsy with them, and that's why, as players talked about yesterday, they've gotten handsy in practice and dialed up the physicality and pushing and shoving and grabbing and poking and swiping at the basketball and things like that so that they can prepare themselves for what they're going to face starting Saturday afternoon.
For the Cavaliers to win this series, Daryl, who needs to step up?
I'm going to say Darius Garland needs to step up. I think Donovan Mitchell's going to be fine. I think Jarrett Allen is going to be fine. But I think it's Garland. We have not seen Darius be the all-star that he's capable of being for much of this season. And it's been a little disappointing. Certainly you understand why he got hurt again, but you can't have him being pensive or tentative, driving to the basket, even on the drive and kick game. Like, he's got to go to the rim with authority. He's got to be very careful, but also at the same time aggressive in his passing, hitting the open man. So I'm going to say Darius Garland. It'd be easy to say Jarrett, but I think Jarrett's going to be fine. I really like what I've seen from him this year. He's gotten a lot more physical. We've seen that from him. So it's how Darius reacts to the physicality that's going to be the key.
Is that what they learned from last year then, what you just
described?
I hope so.
I mean, I hope so. If they didn't, it's not going to go well and people are getting fired. Hopefully they have. They say they have. We've heard that a lot this week at practice. And, they're holding practice down at the field house this afternoon. When I'm done chatting with you guys, I'll head down there. And I'm sure we're going to hear some more of that today. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to show it. And we'll see starting tomorrow afternoon.
Daryl, is there somebody who do you think the X factor is in this series? Because I've been trying to figure out in my head, like, I know Darius Garland is, of course, the one who's got to step up and he's got to look good and all that stuff. And I partially wonder if it's Isaac Okoro because of what I've been reading about his ability to guard Paolo Banchero and how good he has been able to do it. Who do you think is the X factor in this series, Daryl?
Yeah, and, I think that, from a defensive standpoint, he could be the X factor. From the offensive standpoint, he's a non-factor. Let's be honest about it. And his game has gotten better on that side of the ball, but he's not really an offensive threat. You know who I think the X factor is going to be?
Tell me.
It's actually not one person. It's the bench. Because the deficiency of the Cavaliers last year was their bench. And especially in that Knicks series, they got next to nothing from their bench. So, what did they do? They went out and they added Max Strus. They added George Niang. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Tristan Thompson in the series. I think he's there for moral support. But if things get really chippy, maybe they do throw Tristan Thompson on the floor to kind of mix things up and restore order a little bit. But I think Niang and Strus are going to be two instrumental pieces for the Cavaliers in this series. We've heard a lot about playoff experience this week and how the front office went out and made it a point to add players with playoff experience to this roster to help them out for this situation that they're walking into tomorrow. So let's see if that actually bears some fruit with Strus and Yang on the floor.
All right, prediction for the series.
I'm going to say Cavs in six.
Where do they lose the two?
Well, come on, man.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to say they split.
So you're saying they win the first game, though, tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think they'll win the first game tomorrow. I'll say they split at home, and split in Orlando, and then they finish off with back-to-back wins. So it's going to be 2-2. Everybody's going to be losing their minds, but ultimately I think the Cavaliers win the series in six. I don't see them sweeping it. I don't see it being a gentleman sweep, a short five-game series. I think it's going to be really, really competitive again. Orlando's similar to where the Cavaliers were last year, young, scrappy type of a team, and those are always dangerous teams. I know they don't have a lot of playoff experience on that roster, but I kind of feel like that they're not going to be as easy to dispose of as some want to say they are, especially when you go back and you look at how the Cavs and Magic actually matched up this season.
All right, outstanding. Daryl Ryder will be looking for your work at 92.3thefan.com. And, of course, we're listening to you on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland because you're outstanding on that show.
And now we're going to have a Pearl Jam special episode.
Oh, okay. I'm in. Tell me when. I'm waiting.
Okay, we're good. We're good.
I don't know. I'm not a Swiftie, so I don't know if we can give equal time in an election year here for Taylor Swift.
You'll figure it out.
We'll bring someone in.
We're going to have to bring in a Swiftie expert.
Here's your challenge. In the next podcast, I want you to sing all the lyrics to Why.
I don't sing.
No, you'll sing this one because I think you can pull this one off. It's one of the few songs. You will sing all the lyrics to YYZ, the Rush song. Okay? I want you to go work on that. Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye.
Have a great weekend, guys.
See you, bud. Talk soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.